Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, you and I are fit for life in Christ. Now again, as we found out a couple weeks ago, we asked the question, how fit are we? We're not just talking about our physical fitness. We are asking the other question, what's in your heart? And we found out from God's word that out of the heart come all sin and evil thoughts and words. So we know that on our own, we are not too fit after all. But we are today fit for life because we're in Christ. So today, we ask those questions. I have another question for you today as we talk about our spiritual, physical, mental health, wellness, and fitness. What's ordered, right? Tell me, doctor, tell me, Lord, tell me, God, what is your prescription? What do you want us to do if we're not spiritually fit on our own? Well, we're going to answer that today by looking at, guess what, God's commands, the Ten Commandments. But first, I want to let you in on a little bit of a history of mine. So in order for me to be your pastor, in order for me to be a pastor, I have to go through some pretty rigorous training. Some would even call it enough to be a doctor myself. I have to be at least 8 years of school. And part of those 8 years of school were 4 years of intense education down at a little school called Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. That's where one of our flagship schools is. I was just there this past week on a conference that talked all about beauty, the theology of beauty, where we can see beauty in the world. And it reminded me of something that happened the very first year of when I was training to be a pastor. They put you through all these different rigorous trainings like boot camp. And for my first year, I had to be a missionary for about a couple weeks down in the South American country of Guatemala. So as you can guess, my Spanish isn't muy bien, but it's okay. And I got pretty good after a while. But while I was there, I saw an image of beauty and an image of not so much beauty. Turns out that what you're looking at is the city cemetery mausoleums, if you will, at Guatemala City. And what you're looking at is what they call the grave cleaners. Grave cleaners. It's a job for a lot of people. And they're not robbing graves. What they're doing is they're cleaning out the remains of people's bodies in order to make room for more. This is not something that was done in the 15, 1600s in the Middle Ages. This is happening still today. If you don't have family members that could keep paying your monthly dues in order to have your final resting place, guess what? They find somebody else that will pay, and the body ends up being thrown away. And so there's grave cleaners that empty these out. And I saw this, and as a first-year pastor in the making, it just made me sick to my stomach. This isn't even showing the most gruesome realities of the bones just scattered about like they were meaningless. The remains of babies were just tossed apart like a plastic bottle. And even worse than that, this mausoleum, this city cemetery, was located right next to the city dump. A large, large, vast valley filled with all the refuse of people's daily garbage. And humans were intermixed in there. And there were living humans scattering through the broken bones, the broken caskets, looking for just pieces of stuff to sell again to make their own money. And some of these living humans would end their lives themselves by being suffocated by falling in these vast heaps of garbage. And how grotesque and how ugly and how scary these pictures were to me and even are still today, and maybe even for you, how ugly they are. I couldn't just help see past the distance. The natural beauty of God right there in that perfect valley, a tropical rainforest mixed in. And even beyond that, I turned back from this dump of human waste past the cemetery, and off to the left stood this just striking picture. Right there next to the graves of people was this perfectly purple tree that shouldn't be in bloom when there was nothing but death all around it. And it was something that just made me happy, like seeing a rainbow after a long thunderstorm. An image of beauty intermixed with ugliness. And how do we find our place in between? You see, that, my friends, is what's going on with the Ten Commandments. Our youth learn this and learn these from our Sunday school up through junior high into high school. You know these as parents, and you should learn them and teach them to your families. But that's what's going on in the Ten Commandments. There's a tension between ugliness and beauty. And somewhere in the middle is you and me. Now, how could that be, Pastor? Well, if you think about it, when God gives us his command, it's something that not only goes into our ears, but in our heart. And guess what? In our heart, there's a lot of ugliness going on. In our heart, you know, we don't want to do anything but what we want to do. In our heart, if it was up to us, without God's intervening, we would do anything that we would want to do. You see, today, you are here to honor God's third commandment by being here in worship. You are obeying God's command, but it's because of the Holy Spirit working on you today. Again, we could be anywhere we'd want today. We could be enjoying the world around us. We could be going to sports events. We could be going to the Ryder Cup. We could do anything, but God has placed it to be here today. And that's God working on your heart. But we know that when we look at the Ten Commandments, when God tells us to fear, love, and trust in him above all things, it means that we don't have to worry about anything else getting in our way. When we talk about the Eighth Commandment, that we should fear and love God so that we don't tell lies about our neighbor or slander them or fill them with gossip, especially like we do sometimes as young people or old people. God doesn't just give us his commands because it's a sick joke to want us to do something better or to be more better moral people. No! God's commands aren't just showing us the ugliness that's in our heart and because of sin, but also showing us a whole lot of beauty. When God tells us to not give false testimony, it means that we are able and equipped to defend other people and to speak well of them. And to explain everything in the kindest way. When God tells us to honor your father and mother, it's not just saying straighten up your room and do the dishes, but also to honor this particular person that God has placed in your family to take care of you, to show you the same love that God has given us. And why wouldn't we want to love and cherish them? You see, God's Ten Commandments are for our good. In God's education and in our Christian education, we know that there's three uses of the Ten Commandments. A curb, like you'd see on a road. Question, what does a curb do when you're driving, especially in Wisconsin? What does a curb do? Raise your hand, anybody. What does the curb of a road do? Well, back there. It stops your car from hitting stuff. It keeps you within the boundaries, right? And it keeps other things from getting in your way. That's what God's law does. It curbs our natural behavior that we do whatever we want. God's law, his Ten Commandments, also serves as a guide. Think about those kids. Remember those signs that we saw earlier? The stop signs, the railroad crossing signs? Those are guides. Remember those, you ever see those little stripes in the middle of the road that says, don't pass this area? Or see the white lines on the side that say, keep in? Those are guides for us to follow the way. So is God's law. It guides us to do good things, beautiful things, if we listen and look to God. And finally, God's law, his Ten Commandments, serves as a mirror. How many of you looked into a mirror this morning as you're getting ready? A lot of us, yeah? Some of us are like, I don't know if I want to look in the mirror this morning. Sometimes I avoid it altogether. But a mirror does what? Pretty easy. Somebody raise their hand. What does a mirror do? Shout it out. It reflects. It shows you a picture of yourself. God's law, the Ten Commandments, shows us our sin. And sometimes it looks kind of ugly when we see what we've done. Sometimes it's scary. But also when we look in the mirror, we can see something else, a need for our Savior. It doesn't just show us our sin, it shows us our Savior. And when we look in the mirror, you can see a whole lot of beauty. Because you are a person that Jesus has forgiven. You are a person that Jesus still today loves enough to take care of you. You are still a person that is beautiful, because when God sees you, and when you can look in the mirror again today, you can look at what God sees, a person full of worth, a full of beauty despite death and decay all around us, because of Jesus. And that's why we can see beauty despite the world around us. So, what has the doctor ordered? Our good doctor, our great physician, has ordered us to look and follow his commands because he is a good, good father. And when we do, we remember we are fit for life already in Christ. Now, as part of that, remember that tree that was purple? It reminds me of that same purple that we see in Lent, that we remember the cross of Jesus himself. So when you see maybe something going wrong in the world this week, maybe something going wrong in your life, when the washing machine decides to break, when the car breaks down, know that there is beauty still there. There is restoration at hand in our Lord. So, we are fit for life. How do we continue to build our community? Think of this as a question. As a child, when you heard the words, "Did you do this?" You ever hear that? What was your favorite response? When your parents refused to allow you what you wanted, what did you do? Think about it. Now you're thinking about it. Remember today, we're not just here to build up your spiritual life here at Bethlehem. You are a whole body, body, mind, and soul. So get this. There's a fitness goal for you this week. Following God's commands reminds us how to take care of ourselves. I need to do the same thing as well, so I'll follow this along with you as best as I can. But this week, your goal is to eat 4 to 6 different produce options per day, every day. You can do it. If you need help, come to me. And when you do, you'll know that you are fit for life in Christ. Amen.